This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Happy Monday to you as we continue reflecting on the 2025 NFL draft for your Houston Texans, in which they got nine new Texans, including a couple of Iowa State wideouts, you know, some defensive backs to add into the secondary that this Texas team has, and probably more so add into some special teams for your guy Frank Ross. Added a running back in Woody Marks, who seems super excited. Jaquavius Marks is what his mama called him. Mm-hmm. Actually, I don't know. She might call him Woody, too. I just wanted to point out that his name
from,
on his birth certificate
says Toy Story. That's where you Jaquavius. Got the nickname.
I believe that. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right. Mm-hmm. But yeah, a guy who, you know, pass catcher, smooth, all of that. But then one of those nine picks in the second round, a man that goes simply by Tay, Arionte Arisuri, 6'6", 330. Big boy played at Minnesota. But that's the one player that this team added to an offensive line that they had to kind of dismantle in sorts in the offseason. And really, they got with free agents, at least for me personally, I will speak for myself, it did not feel like they addressed it in such a way where I am ecstatic and excited going into the season.
Yeah.
But it feels like with the way that they handled themselves, the message is clear about the offensive line, Lopez.
Well, the message is very clear, but I think we should probably go back to like how this all started.
Okay, you got it.
You got rid of Laremy Tunsil.
Correct.
Kenyon Green. You remade your offensive line with guys that literally everyone that you brought in, there was a question about, you know.
That's right.
You know, Cam Robinson, obviously, you know, Trent Brown, Ed Ingram, your favorite player, you know, all these. There were questions about everything. So when you go back and you think about where you were with the offensive line, and we were all saying, well, they're going to draft an offensive lineman. They might draft two. Well,
I was thinking two in the top 100. Like, I thought could play in that first pool of offensive linemen, which, of course, the way that the draft falls ahead of you is just what you have to deal with. And that first pool of what, like eight, or actually it was eight total in the first round. That first pool of maybe what, like six, seven offensive linemen or what have you, they didn't get to 25, at least is all I'll say. Mm-hmm. There's some questions that I think still exist of what was the cause to move up into that pool, and was it something that maybe a risk that you should have taken? I don't know. But ultimately, if that falls in such a way, it does not mean that you shift up everything. And so I think that took away an opportunity to add what I thought would be necessary to have good competition and maybe not guarantee, but give you a significantly better opportunity at putting forward an offensive line that you know is going to hold up in the ways that you need it.
Here's where it gets interesting, and you mentioned the risk. You know, it wasn't worth the risk necessarily. Nick Caserio said on Friday, you know, they were talking with literally everyone in the league. They didn't feel like the value was there, so they didn't take the risk to move up. But they did take this risk, and clearly this is where I'm landing with this. They feel this is less of a risk than, you know, trying to force a deal to move up and get those guys or even draft more than one offensive lineman. This might be the biggest roll of the dice the Texans have made in a long time, staying with this offensive line. They believe in it. They clearly do because Arisuri, you know, he's going to compete for a spot, but do you expect him to be a starter day one?
I'm not certain. And I think that's really interesting about Arionte Arisuri as well, because he's played left tackle. In fact, can I do this? Can I go to D'Amico Ryans, the head coach of this team? This was him in the post-draft press conference, and this is five, talking about what Arionte brings to this football team.
Yeah, with Tay, we had a guy who brings, you know, that physicality, the mindset that I really think helps offensive linemen be good at their job. He's done a great job of playing left tackle and still has room to grow and develop, so excited about adding him.
He's a left tackle by trade.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that we're seeing in the NFL is that teams, especially with just there's not that many offensive linemen mm-hmm. that are up to the caliber, teams are very comfortable moving these guys around, understanding yeah. that it's not the easiest thing in the world, but moving guys around. It feels like he has a possibility of maybe being the left tackle of the future, but Cam Robinson might be one of the few offensive linemen that feels like his spot mm-hmm. is solidified and where he is. And if that's the case, do you kick him, Ariante, inside? I don't know that you flip him to the other side and have him play right tackle,
mm-hmm.
but I think that especially with the size that he has, maybe you could bring him inside. That's more of a position that you worry about or that you consider that you can get by, for lack of a better term, on your strength and your power, which he does have, and continue to kind of get that coaching. But I don't know that that's a given, especially when you have guys that are vets and get ultimately you're trying to get everybody on the same page with an offensive line that, again, as you mentioned, has question marks. So I don't know that I can say definitively that he will start, but I do think he has a possibility and he has the talent to possibly be able to if he is one of your best five.
Well, answer this question, because, and Figgy, feel free, because I have my answer to this question, because I think this is ultimately where it goes, with, you know, now that the NFL draft is done. What was the message they sent about their offensive line, or messages? To me, there's a couple. We're good. I mean, that's the number one message that they sent. We're good. They believe that a better room, you know, you just heard D'Amico talking about mindset. You know, we've talked about, you know, the swarm and the mentality and somebody reported a while back that it was toxic or whatever it was. So they believe a better room and a new offensive line coach and we're good. That's message number one that they sent that message in this draft. There's no question about it.
They said it in the lead-up.
Yeah.
And that's one of those things that you go, how much of this is the mm-hmm. conversations that happen, the smoke screens or what have you? No, they put their money where their mouth is, and I do wonder how much of that is circumstance, as we've talked about the idea of that first pool alignment. But ultimately, they come out with Ariante Ursary as the one who gets into this space. And other than that, you're looking at the likes of Laken Tomlinson and Ed Ingram in this space, along with, you know, Juice Scruggs and Titus Howard and – obviously, yeah, Blake Fisher, like Trent Brown, those are the mm-hmm. names. Those are the guys that you're going to have to, you know, that is going to be doing the competition. And all the questions that we have, they're going to have to kind of figure it out on the field. Like, there's not necessarily a look of, well, this guy makes more, this guy has more upside. Like, maybe that factors in somewhat, but it does feel like they're just going to kind of throw these guys into the pot. And when they get on the field, whichever iteration of those five is the best, you go out there and play. And that does not instill a lot of confidence in me, considering where you started from last season, considering the question marks that you have, not just about the players, but also still about the coaches. I don't know that I can say definitively that I have guys that I go, I know that they build, you know, great offensive linemen. We're doing that. We're trying to get Cole Popovich there with his association to Dante Scarnecchia, right? Like, that's what we're trying to do to get ourselves a level of confidence. So with all of that and all those questions, I'd be remiss to get out here and say definitively that I think this offensive line is going to be great. And I would have liked for them to show a little bit more to try and I know, give yourself some more cover in that space.
And to me, that's the second message that they sent very, very clearly. Cole Popovich is the man. Cole Popovich is going to fix everything. That's a big ask for a guy that's never been the man as the offensive line coach. He's been an assistant, of course. But that's the other one. They believe Cole Popovich and this room is going to make this offensive line all of a sudden be exactly what it needs to be.
Yeah. From the 972, answer me this. If the Texans O-line is just as bad or worse by week 8, should Nick Caserio be fired? That's tough, because, like, you would have to ask questions in some regard, because there were very intentional decisions about the way that you go about this. But I think that he has been so good in all the other aspects. And the question I ask is, how much do you weigh that to the point where it would be some level of job?
It depends how if the Texans like 2-whatever, if they, you know, winless or something like that, then everybody probably job gonna be on the line. But if they probably playing like last year, where they okay, but CJ is getting a lot of sacks, I do think it's gonna be a lot of questions had, but I don't think he's gonna get fired.
I don't think he's getting fired. He's not getting fired. Now, what is gonna happen is something that we've already touched on a little bit. Can this guy evaluate offensive linemen? Whether it's free agency, draft, whatever. I mean, that is a legitimate discussion if they don't perform.
That or why did we hire this O-line coach right here?
Well, like, that for sure. He might be gone.
It's gonna be a lot of questions, yeah. But I don't think Nick Caserio is getting fired for
it. No. Let me ask you this. What's the starting offensive line if you had to guess today?
All right, if I had to guess
week
today.
Week one, starting offensive line.
I go Cam Robinson at left tackle, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then at left guard, I really would like to put Ariante there, but I don't know that I'm – because I think Titus Howard is a guard right now.
Yeah.
I think he's a guard right now, and I don't know – he played left guard more recently, but mm-hmm. I guess if you're moving people around, if you feel comfortable, do you feel comfortable moving him to right guard? Because ultimately I think that you can pick your poison between Jarrett Patterson or Drew Scruggs, and maybe just for not knowing or not having making mm-hmm. heads or tails between them, I put Drew Scruggs there just based off of draft capital. I don't know if that's the right way to do it, but I mean, I can easily see either one of those guys at center, and then Blake Fisher at right tackle, and then just trying to figure out, do you want to have Ariante Arasuri not just move into guard but move sides to right guard,
mm-hmm.
or do you want to have Titus Howard in there at left guard or move him to right guard after you've had him?
Come on, man.
I have those guys and guards. I don't know which side that you put them on depending on how you want to play them there. But I think that those are the five, and I think that's really matters.
You got five people playing left guard.
No, I don't. I have two guys playing guard, and I don't know which side that they play. But it's Cam Robinson,
mm-hmm.
Cam Robinson, Fisher as your tackles. I'll put Scruggs at your center for right now. And then Ursary and Titus Howard are your guards, whichever side you want to do. And the reason why I mm-hmm. have that is because I would like to have a young guy next to a veteran. And so having Ursary next to Cam as opposed to having Ursary next to Blake Fisher on the right side, where there's not as much of that help that's there for him, I think that that's why I would want to kind of have it that way. But I also don't know how much they want to move Titus around to right guard, have him flip again and learn that position. But that they seem to be not that concerned about moving guys around. So that'd probably be my optimal as of what you have right now.
This is going to be a wild training camp and preseason.
It's a lot of competition, man. It's all over the place, man.
But now you can't also convince me that in their mind's eye they don't already see what it should look like or could look like. Like they have a pretty good idea of what they think is going to be the offensive line. Now there's still going to be competition and could change. But I see Cam Robinson at left tackle. I see Titus Howard at left guard.
Okay.
I think that's where he's played. That's they've already made that move a couple of times. Center is interesting. I could see Jarrett Patterson continuing to be the starting center.
Fair enough.
Which would make Drew Scruggs or Tomlinson the right guard. And then in a total departure from what you're thinking, I think they love Trent Brown, man. I think Trent Brown's going to be the right tackle.
Okay.
But that's what's going to make it so wild.
And it is worth noting, Lakin Tomlinson, also a guy who was playing left guard. So he'd be moving. I mean, there's going to be some moving and shaking, but they've kind of admitted that by constantly mm-hmm. using the best five rhetoric,
mm-hmm.
that they're just going to try and get the best five guys and they'll mm-hmm. fit in as best they can. But that's another thing where you're having guys flip here and there on top of the other questions that you have.
Yeah.
Like, what does that take away, whether it's a 1 or 2 or 5% of what their top end performance is,
mm-hmm.
are you getting a little bit less of that by moving guys around? These are all questions that are having to be asked, and that's why I would have been very happy if there was more just kind of raw talent available to this, to Kaylee and Popovich when they're making these decisions on the offense.
I do feel like we're a little bit being a little bit unfair to Ursary. I didn't have him on my list. I think he's going to compete, but a year ago when Blake Fisher was drafted in the second round, we kind of thought he had a shot to be a starter.
Yeah.
And we're not giving Ursary the same credit there. And I'm not exactly sure.
What do you mean I put him as a starting guard?
Yeah. I think it feels like the Houston Texans kind of set things up where
mm-hmm.
it is a high chance that he could be the starter. But if that don't work out right, they got somebody there for the year.
They've got options.
Yeah. It's not somebody that's like a written in pen type mm-hmm. of starter, mm-hmm. but if you can outplay this guy, then the job is yours. But it's also not the end of the world if he's not ready yet.
Yeah.
They got a lot of linemen, man.
They do. They have a lot of linemen right now.
I know what we're going to be watching in camp.
It is the thing to watch.
They signed a center, undrafted free agent.
Yeah, Eli Cox is the undrafted free agent center that they're throwing into that room
mm-hmm.
as well. So, yeah, man, they have some guys in that room. Eli Cox out of Kentucky, mind you.
Mm-hmm.
But they've got some guys in that room. I'm still so very intrigued to see how it comes together. And I don't know. And to be fair to them, I don't know how much confidence I would have had even if they had taken mm-hmm. a couple of offensive linemen in the draft.
Sure.
If that would have immediately put me into that place. but I would have loved even more of those higher level bodies in there to make it better. But there you go. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Figgy, can you help me out here? I did say that I wanted to hear John Harris and his excitement.
Oh, yeah.
When Woody Harris, Woody. Okay.
Well, he's not that.
That's true. I call him Wood Harris, like the man who was in the wire. Woody Marks was selected for your Texans. This is just how excited John Harris is about that selection.
Looks like it's going to be Woody Marks coming out of USC, the running back.
What? Oh, okay.
We just drafted Woody Marks.
Okay. So that got, for those that aren't watching on YouTube, that got a stand-up and table bump from John Harris. That is a stand-up and table bump.
Stop.
Joquavius Marks.
Yeah.
Woody Marks.
No, seriously. Oh, my God. Okay. I love this.
All right. Okay.
Okay. He was one of my favorite running backs this entire draft. This is an absolute swarmy. Oh my God!
Yeah, we get it. Our analyst here. We're gonna need you to gather yourself a little bit.
Okay.
If somebody was in that other room, I would have hit. Somebody should have hit the wall and say, "Get a room. Get a room."
He's got to still have afterglow going. He's still got to have it going.
My man's gonna live all week off of that one. Yeah. Just alone. That one alone.
Mark Vandermeer says, "Get a room."
Yeah. And yes, Brandon. That's another player whose name starts with a J and went to USC, because you have a few of those.
Oh, that's
as well.
Right. That's right.
You have a few of those as well. All right. Mm-hmm. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Excited about what this Texas team has going, even if there's still that one place where I have some questions. But, hey, I think that's better than a lot of teams in the NFL where that they have some more questions in a lot of places.
Mm-hmm.
We'll ultimately see. Like, you're getting to the place where now bring on mini camp, bring on
training camp. I can't wait
camp.
For that.
Like, we are on that path, mm-hmm. on the march to the start of the 2025 NFL season. All right, coming up next, let's get into our lunchtime confessions, as we often do, brought to you by the Men's Clinic. We will do that next.